the Senate Committee on Business Professions and Economic Development. The hour of noon has come. So we will begin as a subcommittee. Encourage my colleagues to join us here in the room. Let me make everybody aware, we're going to hear bills in file order today. We're going to continue with our committee practice of 4 minutes on each side, two witnesses, 2 minutes apiece, or shared in some fashion. There are 14 bills on our file today. Seven measures will not be heard at the request of the authors. Those are file item number 5, Assembly Bill 795 by Assemblywoman Irwin. File item 8, Assembly Bill 1340 by Assemblymember Chu. File item 9, Assembly Bill 1341 by Assemblymember Berman. File item 10, Assembly Bill 1343 by Assemblywoman Eggman. File item 11, Assembly Bill 1344 by Assemblywoman Bauer Cahan. File item 12 is also being pulled at the request of the author. That's Assembly Bill 1345 by Assemblymember McCarty. And finally, file item 13 has been pulled at the request of the author. That is Assembly Bill 1346. So everything else is on track, a little short in file today, but I know we have a busy day, so hopefully we can move through these measures in an expeditious way. So I'm looking for an author from the Assembly. First up is Assemblywoman Burke. She is here. She can come into the room. Appreciate that. All right, then I think what I'm going to do, let's see, Assemblymember Wilk. Senator Wilk, excuse me, I'm not demoting you. Senator Wilk, Assemblymember Maritsuchi is not here today. I'm going to present his bill on his behalf, so I'd like to turn the gavel over to you, if that's okay.
I would love the gavel.
And I will present his bill while we're waiting for authors.
Okay, up first, item 2, AB 245, Maritsuchi. You may proceed, Mr. Chair.
I'm happy to present this measure on behalf of the Assembly member. This proposal before you will create the California Aerospace and Aviation Commission. This commission will bring the governor and the legislature together with aerospace industry leaders to support California's national and global leadership in aerospace innovation and job creation. The author has heard from the industry that they want a more connected experience with the state, and they worked and he worked with the industry on crafting this bill together. As you, many of these members know, California is home to major aerospace companies like Boeing, Northrop Grumman, and Virgin, as well as a vast network of smaller companies that provide the industry's supply chain. These provide good-paying manufacturing jobs that are bringing us into the new space age. California's aerospace industry is bigger than the entertainment and agricultural industries combined, as measured by annual revenues. And we have competitive advantages that set us apart from other states, including a skilled workforce, a supply chain that's been building airplanes, rocket ships, and satellites for decades, and a higher education system that's educating and training our future workforce. However, states like Texas and Florida are aggressively trying to lure companies and jobs to leave California. That's why we need this commission to support and grow aerospace innovation and jobs here in our state. I think I do. Do I have a witness here in favor? Don't see that. And so with that, Mr. Chairman, that's the presentation of the bill today.
Any other speakers here in support? Any in opposition? Seeing none, I'll pull back to the committee. Questions, comments, concerns?
Senator
Archuleta, go ahead.
Thank you, Senator, for presenting this, I think, such an important bill with the aerospace industry that I believe is so strong here in California that we have to think about the aero industry not just in Houston, Texas, but in California. So I applaud the author, and that's why I support the bill.
Very good. Thank you.
Pull it back to the chair. I do want to admonish you for one thing you forgot to mention, Lockheed. On the prime manufacturers, and by the way, they're all in my committee. I should have been the one presenting the bill, not you. But the average salary is $103,000, which is great. And the thing about aerospace that's, I think, really important, if you look at the history of geopolitics, those that control the sea lanes were the dominant economic and military power. So you can go through from, you know, Portugal to Italy, Spain, England, whatever. It's been the United States of America. But in order to control the sea lanes because of technology, you now have to control space. So space is the new ocean. So this is not a fad, but this is going to be a long-term trend. And I agree with you. It's vitally important that we continue to make the investments here because we have so many advantages over these other states. And he picked the perfect person to jockey his bill today. And with that, we will take your clothes.
Well, thank you. And maybe you saw my clothes, but I was going to put Lockheed. Lockheed is in my clothes. Really, one of the most important companies in California is, of course, Lockheed, located in a really special Senate district. But there are many companies in this space, all important to us, all providing good jobs, and hopefully providing leadership for California in so many different ways has been expressed. And with that, I appreciate your consideration today.
Thank you, sir. We do not yet have a quorum, but we will bring that up for a vote later. I'm highly confident that you will secure approval. We have two authors now.
All right, we still don't have a quorum yet, so we're proceeding as a committee of the whole. I'd like to welcome up item number one, Assembly Bill 23, and Assemblywoman Burke. Welcome.
Mr. Chair and Senators, I'm here today to present AB 23, which establishes a Deputy of Business and Workforce Coordination within GoBiz. California's small business plays a vital role in the continued prosperity of the state's economy, accounting for over 83% of the net new jobs created last year. Unfortunately, this success is threatened by the potential shortage of 1 to 1.5 million qualified workers by 2025. Assembly Bill 23 would establish a deputy of business and workforce coordination within GoBiz and engage small businesses on their labor needs to better align California's workforce development programs with employment opportunities in the labor market. AB 23 is sponsored by the Anyway, this bill has received unanimous bipartisan support, and welcome to Monday.
Welcome to Monday. Thank you, Assembly members. You have witnesses in favor?
I do. I'll let them self-introduce.
So Nicole Rice, California Manufacturers and Technology Association. We're here as co-sponsor of the bill and in support of AB 23. As the Assembly member stated, with the existing education systems and the discussions in the workforce development arena, there has been a little bit of a disconnect of trying to get those valuable resources into the hands of businesses, especially small businesses. As we stated in our support letter, that oftentimes small businesses just don't have the resources to be able to go out and make those connections and those relationships. However, they do have a familiarity with the Office of the Small Business Advocate and also history with going to GoBiz to be able to help them navigate what can be sometimes a difficult state system. So this bill is going to provide in that small office of the Office of Small Business Advocate a position for workforce development. So they can help kind of be that bridge between the small businesses and also these workforce development systems and education systems to help them better coordinate their activities, find where those resources are located, and really be able to talk to them in a way that the small businesses understand so that they can work and get their workforce needs met. Small manufacturers, we're hearing this all the time from those entities, and so being able to provide this will be an additional step and resource within the system, but doesn't take any additional revenue from the state in order to accomplish this or mess with the current structure of the system. So for those reasons, we are in support and sponsors of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other witnesses in favor?
Good morning, Mr. Chair. My name is Eric Flores. I'm here on behalf of the California Workforce Association, representing the 45 local workforce development boards in California. From our perspective, over the past 5 years, workforce development systems nationwide and in California have made really huge leaps and bounds in concerted programming, partnerships, and co-enrollment. The corrections, social services, adult education, community colleges, and community-based organizations have all worked together to align local and regional planning processes. To this end, we're in support of AB 23 because the piece that's been left out of that is the Office of the Small Business Advocate and the Business Service Systems. The Workforce Development Boards in California saw over 1.3 million customers walk through the doors of our career centers in 2018 and provided services to almost 30,000 individual employers. We feel that AB 23 would align those systems much more effectively and allow us to better serve those 3.9 million small businesses in California that employ almost 50% of the state's workforce.
So very good. Thank you for your testimony. Any other witnesses in favor? You can come to the microphone, indicate your affiliation.
Imran Majid with the California Community College's Chancellor's Office. Our office does not yet have a formal position on this bill, but we're supportive of the author's intent, and we hope to have a formal support position next month at our Board of Governors meeting. Thank you. Right.
Thank you very much.
Karen Sarkissian with the California Chamber of Commerce in support.
Thank you.
Les Shepard on behalf of the Cal Asian Chamber of Commerce in support.
Thank you. Any other witnesses in support? Any witnesses in opposition? Seeing none, we'll bring the matter back to the committee for discussion and questions. Vice Chair Jay.
I just want to thank the author for bringing this bill forward, and at the appropriate time, I would love to be added on as a co-author.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? All right. Before we allow you to close, we have a quorum here, so let's take the roll and be official.
Glazer?
Here.
Glazer here. Chang?
Here.
Chang here. Archuleta?
Here.
Archuleta here. Dodd? Galgiani? Hill?
Here.
Hill here. Leyva?
Here.
Leyva here. Pan? Wilk?
Present.
Wilk here.
Okay, we have a quorum present. I think I did hear Senator Leyva move the bill. With that, would you like to close?
I respectfully request and I vote this bill is a product of, I'm chair of the Select Committee on Career Technical Education and Building a 21st Century Workforce, and this bill is a product of the meetings that we have done up and down the state over the last few years. It's the request that we get every hearing we do, and so we're just happy to bring it, see it to fruition.
Thank you, Assemblywoman. Thanks for your leadership in this area. So we do have a motion, if the Secretary would call the roll.
Motion is due pass to Senate Appropriations Committee. Glazer?
Aye.
Glazer, aye. Chang?
Aye.
Chang, aye. Archuleta?
Aye.
Archuleta, aye. Dodd? Galgiani? Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Pan? Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye.
All right, we have plenty of votes to move the bill out, but we'll hold it open for absent
members.
Thank you. Thank you, Val. Thank you very much. Members, we did hear item number two before some arrived. AB 245, we have a motion to approve AB 245 due pass the Senate governmental organizations. And with that, the Secretary would call the roll.
Glazer?
Aye.
Glazer, aye. Chang?
Aye.
Chang, aye. Archuleta?
Aye.
Archuleta, aye. Dodd? Galgiani? Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Pan? Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye.
All right. That has plenty of votes to get out, but we'll hold the roll open for absent members. Assemblymember Chen is here. This is item number four, Assembly Bill 588. With that, we welcome you to our committee, and you can proceed whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Appreciate your time this morning. I want to start off by thanking your amazing committee staff for their support and all the help on this bill, and I want to start off by accepting the committee amendments. AB 588 will require any animal shelter or rescue group in California that adopts out of transfers a dog with a bite history to disclose the information to the adopter or rescue group every time the animal is transferred or adopted out. According to State Farm Insurance, California residents experience more dog bites than any other state in our country. Providing this critical information to the adopter or the rescue group will empower them to make the most and best informed decision for their care choices for that dog. This will reduce the number of failed placements for the dogs and provide critical information to those who seek to rehabilitate and retain dogs that may, through no fault of their own, be food aggressive or fearful of people. Here with me to testify and answer any questions that you may have is Karen Lang, who represents the California Animal Welfare Association.
Very good. Witness in favor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Karen Lang on behalf of the California Animal Welfare Association. It's the organization that represents the public and private shelters in California. Most shelters do this as a matter of best practice. We're bringing in the rescues to the measure since sometimes tragedies do occur, and children and seniors are most likely to suffer a dog bite. And what we're trying to do is prevent that from occurring and by training the owners that are adopting the animals that perhaps the dog is food aggressive because it may have been starved. So maybe just don't let a child near the dog's food bowl, for example, and then you could prevent a tragedy. Or perhaps the dog's afraid of big, loud men, and you might want to just that wouldn't be the best place for a house, and so or for a dog. So we're just trying to make sure that the match is correct so that we don't have animals coming back, which then takes a bed for a dog that's coming in the front door, and sometimes shelters are full. And what we're really trying to do is just stabilize the dog on the way out the first time, a successful placement, and prevent tragedy. There have been an increased number of dog bites as reported by the State Department of Public Health, and so we're hoping that this measure will see that trend reverse, and so we ask for your vote today. Thank you.
Good. Thank you, Ms. Lang. Any other witness in favor? Any witnesses in opposition? We'll bring the matter back to the committee for questions or comments. Anybody? I'd just say thank you to Assemblymember for bringing this bill. Thank you for accepting the amendments, which is try to provide the right calibration on a good bill like this.
And with thank you, Mr. Chair.
Anything you want to say in closing?
I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
I heard Senator Leyva move the bill. And so with that, if the Secretary would call the roll.
Motion is due pass as amended to Senate Appropriations Committee. Glaser?
Aye.
Glaser, aye. Chang?
Aye.
Chang, aye. Archuleta?
Aye.
Archuleta, aye. Dodd? Galgiani? Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Pan? Wilk?
Aye.
Good.
Wilk, aye.
There's votes to move that bill out, but we'll hold the roll open for absent members. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Thank you for your time.
Okay, we're looking for authors. Assemblymember Blanca Rubio, Assemblymember Petrie Norris, Assemblymember Joan Sawyer, and Assemblymember Obernolte. You are between us and lunch, so for some of us. So we hope that you'll arrive soon. Well, that will be in short recess. All right, we have an author has arrived. We're going to move now to file item 14, Assembly Bill 1420 by Assemblymember Obernolte. Thank you for being here. And the floor is yours.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. AB 14 would establish in statute the fees currently set by the Bureau of Cannabis Controls regarding the regulation of cannabis. If you're talking about all of the fees under the Bureau of Consumer Affairs, over 90% of them are established in statute. This would establish legislative oversight over those fees, which I think is very appropriate. I'd like to thank you, Mr. Chair, and your staff for working with me on the bill. The committee analysis outlines three technical amendments. We're happy to take those, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Very good. Any witnesses in support?
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and committee members. Amy Jenkins on behalf of the California Cannabis Industry Association in support of the bill today. Proposition, Prop 64, gave cannabis licensing agencies broad authority to set fees through the regulatory process without legislative oversight. And this is really meant for the last few years. Our emerging industry has had to remain flexible and adapt quickly as state regulatory fees were drafted and modified. So we appreciate the fact that the Office of Administrative Law has finally adopted regulations. We would like to simply codify these fees so we can bring the cannabis industry in line with all the other businesses overseen by the Department of Consumer Affairs. We already face a myriad of challenges. This bill provides cannabis businesses the same peace of mind and stability granted to other businesses. So thank you for your consideration.
Thank you very much, Ms. Jenkins. Any other witnesses in favor? Any witnesses in opposition? All right, we'll bring the matter back to the committee for questions or comments. Senator Leyva.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon. I just had a question. I believe there's a report coming out on July 1st that's going to let us know if the fees we're charging now are adequate, if they're inadequate. Is that correct?
Yes.
So would we not want to wait until that report comes out, here's my concern. If we set a fee now and the report comes out and says that the fees aren't adequate, then it comes back to the legislature. Nobody likes to vote on anything that increases fees or taxes. So would we just be better served if we just waited a little while because the bill, the report comes out in a couple of weeks?
Sure, that had occurred to me as well. This industry faces the biggest challenge from the black market. And there are several bills pending in the legislature that would actually institute a holiday on those fees because of this enormous problem that we have with enforcement in the black market and trying to guide consumer activity into the legal channels. Mm-hmm. So my response to that would be, I would say it is extremely unlikely that the legislature would, or even the Bureau of Cannabis Control, would act to raise those fees anytime in the near future. And indeed, we may be reducing them if some of these bills pass. So we're just trying to establish the current amounts as maximums, and not to say that they can't go up in the future, but I think that it's appropriate for us to have legislative oversight over those fees because we're thinking of the big picture. I mean, the Bureau of Cannabis Control, they're thinking about the amount of revenue that they need to do their job of regulating the industry. We're looking at the amount of fee structure that we need to channel this activity into legal channels and to make sure that we have a flourishing industry in California. So I think it's extremely unlikely that any would agree that the greater fees are a good idea, and in fact, we may be having discussion about lowering those fees.
Well, I think that's very optimistic, only because this is such a new industry, and we don't know that the fee structure we set is actually working, but we will know that in 2 weeks. Actually, yeah, in exactly 2 weeks. Would you be open to, you know, to amending the bill or saying that, you know, when we get this in just 2 weeks, so we have plenty of time, that you would look at that and say, hey, maybe we need to restructure it?
We will certainly be looking at that. I think that we are double referred. Is that right?
I think you're single referred.
Oh, to approps, okay, because we have fiscal impact. So the concern is with a legislative calendar, but I'm sure that, I mean, obviously 2 weeks we're not going to clear the Senate chamber, and I'm sure that's a discussion that we're going to be having. We want to be part of the solution to the problem. We're not trying to make things worse here.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Great. Any other questions or comments? Senator Archuleta.
Yes, in reference to fees, let me understand this. So across the state of California, the fees will be set. What about the counties and the cities within the state? Are they going to be able to make adjustments at all in their fees, or there'll be no fees? Explain to me how the cities and the counties will fall into play with this.
Well, AUMA is quite a complex piece of legislation and establishes kind of a patchwork quilt of statewide regulations and then regulations that permit local control. So we're just talking about the fees that the statewide Bureau of Cannabis Control has authority over.
So the cities and counties can still implement additional fees?
We're not taking any authority away from the cities and counties.
Okay, very good. That answers my question. Thank you.
Anything else from colleagues? Okay. I do note that that report is only affects the Bureau. It's not known whether similar reports are going to be made for Department of Food and Ag and the Department of Public Health, right? So this is the,
yes.
But I appreciate you being sensitive to Senator Leyva's point as the bill moves forward. With that, I'd like to give you the opportunity to close.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your consideration and the robust discussion. Some great questions were asked. And just to be clear, what we're trying to hear is to establish legislative oversight over those fees. And this is not a unique situation. Most of the fees under the jurisdiction of the Department of Consumer Affairs have this kind of oversight. We're just saying that these fees should be no different. I'd respectfully request your aye vote.
Very good. Thank you very much. Vice Chair Chang has moved the bill. With that, if the Secretary would call the roll. This is due pass as amended. Thank you for taking those technical amendments to Senate Appropriations.
Glaser?
Aye.
Glaser, aye. Chang?
Aye.
Chang, aye. Archuleta?
Aye.
Archuleta, aye. Dodd?
Aye.
Dodd, aye. Galgiani? Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Leyva? Pan?
Aye.
Pan, aye. Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye.
All right. That has the votes to move on, but we'll hold the roll open for absent members.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you for coming in and presenting your bill. All right. Next up, I have file item 6. Assembly Bill 1264 by Assemblywoman Petrie Norris. Welcome to the committee.
Good morning.
You're welcome to begin as you are ready.
Okay. Well, good morning, Chair and members. I'm here this morning to ask for your support for AB 1264. This bill clarifies vague telehealth law in order to expand access to birth control using smartphone technologies. As we all know, birth control allows people to choose if and when to start a family. Safe and effective family planning has afforded women economic independence and freedoms that we've used to advance our standing in society today. So this is an important issue. Technology has created another door to the healthcare system and is an avenue that providers are using to reach patients where they are and in a way that they want to access care. Right now, in order for a woman to order birth control via a smartphone app, she must first schedule a video conference. This has proven to be a barrier that the professionals consider to be medically unnecessary. So what AB 1264 does is clarify that a synchronous video conference is not required to provide birth control and that an appropriate prior exam could include an asynchronous questionnaire. In Planned Parenthood healthcare centers, this will significantly increase access to birth control. And we believe that it's an appropriate shift in the guidelines. We must update our code sections to reflect our changing technologies and to allow people to order contraceptives however they are able to do so. Respectfully ask for your support, and I'm pleased to introduce our sponsor here to testify, Molly Robson with Planned Parenthood.
Very good. Thank you. Please.
Hi, Molly Robson with Planned Parenthood. We represent 7 affiliates who provide healthcare to over 700,000 patients in California. I want to thank the author for her leadership and committee staff for the analysis and work on the amendments. I want to make one clarification, which is on page 3 of the analysis. Currently, PP Direct does not provide STD test kits in California. PP Direct exists in many states, and services vary, so just FYI. But we are sponsoring this bill to provide clarity in the law related to prescribing medications via telehealth, such as birth control. After working with stakeholders, we brought in the bill to clarify that appropriate prior examination and prescribing via telehealth generally. So despite continued investments in healthcare through the state budget, we know that there's still an unmet need for birth control in California, and telehealth can help with this barrier. And as you know, the goal of telehealth is to provide the same standard of care in a way patients want to access care, as the author mentioned. Recognizing this, we created PP Direct through Planned Parenthood to provide birth control through an asynchronous storm-forward technology. The app launched in California in 2016 and saw over 500 patients on average a month. But due to ambiguity in the law in 2018, we began requiring synchronous video conference between patient and clinician. This isn't an obligation required in 15 other states that use the PP Direct app, and medical experts, as mentioned, have determined that it's unnecessary. This app is meeting patients where they are, but the requirement for a video conference caused a disruption in care, and an estimated 50% of patients were not fulfilling the requirement to get the birth control. AB 1264 provides this clarity that an appropriate prior examination is to be determined by the medical licensee, and a synchronous real-time visit is not required to determine whether or not to provide hormonal birth control to a patient. This app will allow PP Direct to meet the unmet need and provide access to tens of thousands of patients in California, and thus benefit from asynchronous telehealth as originally imagined in the creation of the application. Thank you for your consideration of this bill. I ask for your support.
Very good. Thank you very much. Any other witnesses in support?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Bryce Dougherty with KP Public Affairs on behalf of Roe, telehealth innovator, and their men's line, Roman, and their women's health line, Rory, and ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you.
Amy Durbin with the California Medical Association and support.
Thank you very much. Any other witnesses in favor? Any witnesses in opposition? Seeing none, we'll bring the matter back to the committee. I want to just thank you for bringing this bill forward. I think it's an excellent bill, an important bill. There's the opportunity going forward to add on co-authors. I'd love to join in your effort.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? Senator Archila. Oh, Senator Pan, a question or a move?
A question.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I think it was moved by Senator.
I haven't recognized a motion yet, but I do recognize you to ask a question or make a comment. Senator Pan.
Thank you. Well, I will take that. Thank you, Chair. All right. So first of all, I want to thank you for bringing this bill forward. I understand this is specifically for self-administered hormonal contraceptives, correct?
Correct.
Correct, yes. Okay. And I think certainly, well, because I think in the testimony, well, there are maybe other medications where this would be appropriate for, too. I just want to. This particular class of medication clearly has been shown to be safe, efficacious. So we know that actually our professional sites have recommended they be over-the-counter. So for various reasons, perhaps they're not, but certainly I think that this is a very appropriate way to expand access, and certainly would urge support for the bill. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good. Very good. Any other comments or questions? If not, I feel a motion from my right.
I said it once, but I will say it again. I'd like to move the bill, please. I must not have been loud enough. I apologize.
Senator Leyva has moved this bill. And with that, if the secretary would call the roll.
Motion is due pass the Senate Appropriations Committee. Glaser?
Aye.
Glaser, aye. Chang?
Aye.
Chang, aye. Archuleta?
Aye.
Archuleta, aye. Dodd?
Aye.
Dodd, aye. Galgiani? Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Pan?
Aye.
Pan, aye. Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye.
Is everybody here?
Thank you.
No.
I wouldn't miss you one. Right. That has plenty of votes to get out. We'll hold the roll open for absent members. Thank you very much for
all
presenting
right.
your
Thank
bill.
Thank you so much.
Okay. All right, next up is file item number 7, Assembly Bill 1291 by Assemblymember Joan Sawyer. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you.
Thank you for your patience. You can begin anytime you're ready.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I first want to start by thanking the chair and committee staff for their work on this bill, and I accept the committee amendments. AB 1291 clarifies the time frame for when cannabis businesses need to comply with labor peace agreement requirements. A labor peace agreement is an agreement between a business and a labor organization that prescribes the obligation of each party. These agreements tend to include mutually beneficial provisions that protect businesses and, importantly, employees. Current law requires that cannabis businesses with 20 or more employees enter a labor peace agreement. As part of the application process to obtain a cannabis license, businesses with at least 20 employees are required to state that they will enter a labor peace agreement if the business has not already entered one. However, current regulations are silent on when businesses with less than 20 employees need to enter a labor peace agreement if they become employers of 20 or more. Regulations only say this requirement needs to be met as soon as reasonably practicable, which is vague and open to interpretation. AB 1291 will require cannabis business license applicants employing less than 20 employees to submit a statement that will enter a labor peace agreement within 60 days of employing their 20th employee. This measure will protect arbitrary enforcement against cannabis businesses and will provide employees with clarity on when an employer is failing to comply with this law. With me today to speak in support of this measure is Jazzy Graywall from USCW. Members, I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Thank you for the presentation. Your first witness.
Good afternoon, Chair and members. Jazzy Graywall with UFCW Western States Council, here on behalf of our thousands of cannabis members in the state of California. I'm here to answer any questions that you might have or address any concerns you have with the bill. So thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. Any other witnesses in favor? Step up to the microphone.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Mitch Steiger with California Labor Federation, also in support.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members, Matt Broad with the Teamsters in support. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other witnesses in favor? Are there any witnesses in opposition? Seeing none, we'll bring the matter back to the committee for any questions or comments. Questions or comments? Vice Chair Chang.
So this bill simply clarifies what is already in current law, right? It just clarifies with the timeline.
Clarifies with the timeline, make sure there's no ambiguity or misinterpretation as we move forward when the company gets larger, which we hope will be all of them.
Thank you.
Good. Any questions or comments? Additional questions or comments? Assemblymember, would you like to close?
I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Okay. So there is a motion. I'll take it as due pass as amended to Senate Labor, Public Employment, and Retirement. Okay. With that, the secretary would call the roll.
Glaser?
Aye.
Glaser, aye. Chang?
Aye.
Chang, aye. Archuleta?
Aye.
Archuleta, aye. Dodd?
Aye.
Dodd, aye. Galgiani? Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Pan?
Aye.
Pan, aye. Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye.
Very good. Plenty of votes to move that bill along. Thank you for being here, and we'll close it out when all of our absent members are here. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, we've come to the last bill on our agenda today. Item number 3, Assembly Bill 476 by Assemblymember Blanca Rubio. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. I forgot how efficient the Senate is.
That shouldn't require a memory issue, but okay.
We're back.
We're happy to have you here.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and committee members. Today I'm presenting AB 476, which creates a task force that will study and make recommendations on how to integrate foreign trained professionals and how to eliminate unnecessary barriers for foreign professionals. This bill is a reintroduction of AB 827 from 2017. Current law provides for the licensure and regulation of various professionals and vocational by boards within the Department of Consumer Affairs. However, some immigrants have complained about the process having multiple barriers in terms of process timeliness, of degree of evaluation, and acceptance of foreign credentials. This has been going on. We have a lot of qualified foreign professionals that are having a really difficult time trying to transfer their credentials, and we are in need of a lot of the positions that are being, the barriers are being presented to. So I respectfully ask for consideration and for an aye vote.
Thank you very much. You have witnesses in favor. You may proceed.
Christopher Sanchez with Chile, the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights, proud to be a sponsor of this measure. There is roughly about 2 million immigrants who have work authorization, and 48% of those immigrants have post-secondary degrees that could actually be utilized in the state of California. However, community members have expressed frustration in running into barriers in obtaining those licenses in their profession, including degree evaluation. The lack of centralized information in the process does hinder one's ability to move forward, especially given that many of these Californians are working class and have difficulties in taking time off due to financial obligations. This bill is in particular important during these times as the legal immigration process continues to decrease under this administration, including the issuance of H-1B visas, which are used for high-skilled workers. In fact, the Sacramento region is one of the top five regions in the nation that utilizes H-1B visa workers. In the near future, California may see a void in its workforce due to the lack of recruitment of high-skilled workers. And it is for these reasons we urge for your aye vote.
Thank you very much. Any other witnesses in favor? Very good. Any witnesses in opposition? Bring the matter back to the committee for questions or comments. Assemblywoman, let me thank you for bringing this bill forward. I'm sure as many people here have relatives or friends quite qualified,
right,
and have run into these barriers. And as you have correctly identified, at a time where we need more professionals, mm-hmm, in these fields, it's frustrating that we haven't found a process to take into account their training and expertise, make sure they meet all the standards of care that we would expect, and get them into the workforce in a way that helps our communities.
Right.
So I thank you. If there's an opportunity down the road, which may not be for amendments, I certainly would enjoy being a part of
this. We can change a comma if you would like.
I'd be happy to. I'd be pleased to be a co-sponsor of your important measure.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And, just to know, we did receive bipartisan support in the Assembly, and I would respectfully ask for the same here.
I'll take that as your close.
Yes.
Senator Archuleta moves the bill. This would be due pass to Senate Appropriations. With that, the Secretary would call the roll.
Glazer?
Aye.
Glazer, aye. Chang?
Aye.
Chang, aye. Archuleta?
Aye.
Archuleta, aye. Dodd?
Aye.
Dodd, aye. Galgiani? Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Pan?
Aye.
Pan, aye. Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye.
That has plenty of votes to get out. We'll hold the roll open for absent members. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
All right, members, that completes our agenda today. We're going to go through the roll so members can add on. So with that, why don't we start at the top? Item number one, Assembly Bill 23 by Assemblymember Burke. If the Secretary would call the roll.
Motion is due pass the Senate Appropriations Committee. Current vote 6-0. Chair and Vice Chair voting aye. Dodd?
Aye.
Dodd, aye. Galgiani? Pan?
Aye.
Pan, aye.
All right, that's eight votes in favor. We'll hold the roll open for absent members. Just 1 second, please. All right, we're going to move to item number two, AB 245 by Maritsuchi. The Secretary would call the roll.
Motion is due pass to GO Committee. Current vote 6-0. Chair and Vice Chair voting aye. Dodd?
Aye.
Dodd, aye. Galgiani? Pan?
Aye.
Pan, aye.
It's got eight votes. We'll hold the roll open for absent members. Moving on to item number three, Assembly Bill 476. Everybody's been here for that, right?
Yeah.
So we'll skip that one. Item 4, Assembly Bill 588 by Assemblymember Chen. If the Secretary would call the roll.
Motion is due pass as amended to Senate Appropriations Committee. Current vote 6-0. Dodd?
Aye.
Dodd, aye. Galgiani? Pan?
Aye.
Pan, aye.
All right, it's got eight. We'll hold it open for absent members. Moving on to item six, AB 1264. Secretary would call the roll.
It's the same.
We're still
just
at eight.
Missing.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to hold that one. That has eight. Same with seven.
Seven.
And how about item 14?
Item 14, it's pretty much the same.
Okay. All right. So, colleagues, those who have been so attentive and here in attendance, you're all clear. We're going to hold the roll open for just another couple minutes for one absent senator. And with that, stay tuned. Back in session here, I'm going to go through each of the items that we have heard. Assembly Bill 23 by Burke, that bill is out, 8-0. Assembly Bill 245 by Marzucci, that bill is out, 8-0. Assembly Bill 476 by Assemblywoman Blanca Rubio, that bill is out, 8-0. Assembly Bill 588 by Assemblymember Chen. That bill is out 8-0. Assembly Bill 1264 by Petrie Norris. That bill is out 8-0. Assembly Bill 1291. That bill is out 8-0. And finally, Assembly Bill 1420. That bill is out 7-0. That completes our business of the committee. Thank you all for attending, listening, or watching. And with that, the meeting's adjourned.